Thank you, Dorothy, and thank you, Rhoda. Take your Bibles tonight and your pencils and paper, and we're going to 1 Corinthians 15. I thought on this Memorial Sunday night it would be wonderful if we covered this one of the great chapters in God's Word. I know of no commentary in existence that is capable of handling this chapter. And yet I know people in the Way Ministry who handle it quite accurately. I'm going to give you, as I understand the greatness of this word to a degree at least, some very accurate translations of some of the verses or portions of the verses tonight. I'll give you all the great salient truths that I know about this chapter, with the exception of all the Greek or Aramaic. I'm not going to be covering those words, at least not many of them, because I have no idea of burdening you with them, but there are a few basic truths I will have to set before we begin, and these will unfold as we go through. The word resurrection. You have to understand this word if you want to rightly divide the word, because the word resurrection implies, naturally, or it's just axiomatic, that it implies a rising. However, all rising is not a resurrection. Like the word apostle implies all disciples, but all disciples are not apostles. So it is with the understanding of the word resurrection. All rising is not a resurrection, but all resurrection implies a rising. Furthermore, the word also, A-L-S-O. A number of weeks ago, I had Linnell Johnson to do a booklet on the word also. The word also is used 636 times in the New Testament, and I've had my core to mark every one of them, because that word is very important in the right dividing of the word. In the Greek, the word kai, K-A-I, translated also, and that is whenever it means also, is placed immediately before the word which is to be emphasized. Now, in English, this is not true. They just stick them in haphazardly. But we have checked every one of them in the Greek and have then put them in our King James. Tonight, I've done this also in the 15th chapter, and I will be giving you these accurately as we go through. Because in the Greek, as I said, the word kai, when it means also, is placed immediately before the word it emphasizes. Now, this 15th chapter of Corinthians is the basic chapter that deals with the resurrection and with the rising of believers. And as we get into the depth of this tonight, on this wonderful Memorial Sunday night, I'm sure it will bless your heart. Moreover, brethren, I declare, the word declare is make known unto you the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Now, you can have good news of different kind or kinds. You could be given something which is good news. On the other hand, you could have purchased something which was good news. So whenever you read the word gospel, you'll always have to determine in what segment of the word it's utilized, whether it means the good news of the Old Testament, the good news of the presence of Christ, or the good news of the epistles. This means the good news of the mystery. Make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received also. and wherein ye stand. The words wherein ye stand are, and in which ye stand also, which ye have received also, and in which you stand also. You can receive something and not what? Stand in it. This is talking about the gospel that we not only have received, but the one in which we must stand also. So it's not a matter of copping out. It's not a matter of flipping. It's not a matter of, you know, standing one day and then not standing the next. It's a what? Standing. In which ye stand also. By, through which you are saved also. The word saved is the word zoso, meaning made whole. To be saved here means more than to be just born again. Because a person could be born again and still not be made whole. W-H-O-L-E. 10 lepers came to Jesus. They were all healed. One of the 10 returned. And it is of that one that Jesus said he was made whole. They were all healed, but only one was made whole. The tremendous difference between being saved and being made whole. Now this word here is to be made whole. Through which ye are saved also. When, if is the word when, you keep, hold fast in memory, you know, hold it fast in memory. Hold what fast in memory? Oh, which ye have received also, and in which ye stand also, through which ye are saved also. Hold fast in your memory, in your head. Put it up there. This is renewed mind. Put it on up here, what he really did. By what I preached unto you, unless, except, EXCPD, you believed, or ye believed, in vain. And in vain means to no purpose. Except ye believed to no purpose. 4, verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, literally reads, among the first things. For I delivered unto you among the first things. The first things when he spoke to the believers there. Among the first things he delivered unto them, which I received also. Among the first things which I received also. One of the first things that he received also by revelation from the Father was the word dealing with resurrection and rising. Because the first epistle that was written was the Epistle of Thessalonians. It stands last in experience, but it stands first in revelation. The book of Romans was not the first revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. Thessalonians was the first revelation. It was the first epistle written. and circulated among the believers. It stands last in our Bibles, but it was the first one. And the reason it stands last, of course, it's the last experience for the church. But it's the first thing that sets the church uniquely. Unless you rightly divide the resurrection and the rising and the understanding of Christ's return, all you're going to do is write another book called The Great Planet Earth or something. That's right. Anybody could conjecture that from the book of Revelation and Daniel and Isaiah and a few others, and you could just shock people with things that are happening. But by the time that comes to pass, I'm not going to be around if it's another 1,000 years, because the gathering together is coming and I'm in that part. I'll let the rest of them stick around to see the earth blow to pieces. I'll see it from a higher realm. So until you get this first and understand this, it's just a cop-out. That's why you run into people all the time when they always want to talk about the book of Daniel, about the book of Revelation, that kind of stuff. Any of you WOWs run into them? Do all the time. See? They just don't understand first things. I delivered unto you among the first things that which I received also, how that Christ died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. Christ did not only die for our sin, he died for our sins. In the core, we are covering the book of Romans this year, partly at least. Never make it, I suppose. But just so much in it, it's impossible to cover the book of Romans in 1 year with a core. Just that much in it. But in one whole section of the early section of the Word of God in Romans, it deals only with sin. Another section deals with sins. And people read the book of Romans and never see it. Sin is the nature. Sins are the results of it. Jesus Christ died not only for the nature, but he died for the results, the consequences of that nature. That's why it's sins here. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again. Rose again is has been raised. The third day, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He has been raised the third day. See, there you're back to your 3 days and three nights and still getting up on what day? Third day. Take a look at Acts 2. Keep your finger here in Corinthians. Go to Acts 2. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be what? Verse 31. He seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of what? That his soul, Christ's soul, should not be. Was not left in hell, the grave, Hades, neither his flesh did see what? Corruption. David foresaw the Lord before his face, and what did David see? The resurrection of the Lord. People, it was that made it possible for the Old Testament men to believe and to walk on the efficacy of God's word, because they saw things in the future, don't you know? Like the revelation that's written in the book of Revelation was given to the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians he was not allowed to write it. He couldn't even speak it. God said, shut up, man. But he showed it to him. That's why until you understand Corinthians 15 that we're talking about and a few others, you just flounder around, because if you do not have the hope of Christ's return, then you are going to trip out. You're going to cop out. You're going to blow it. That's right. David, way back there, saw the Lord. And what he saw was regarding the resurrection of Christ, that his soul, that Jesus Christ, the person, Jesus Christ, was not left in hell. Hell is Hades, grave, means grave. Neither his flesh did see what? Had Jesus Christ remained within the grave, he would have what? Corrupted. Because that's what happens to a body. I'm just sure he couldn't have been God. Look at chapter 13. Acts 13. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15:4, when you read this, and that he was buried, and that he has been raised the third day according to the scriptures, it's saying according to the prophecy that was originally given to the men of God, told to them, they saw his day, they saw the coming of Christ, they saw his death. The only thing they did not see is the mystery. Everything else they saw. Verse 5. And that he was seen of, is by, Cephas. I want you to count these, because there are six of them in here. In verse 5 and following. He was seen, Jesus Christ in his resurrected body was seen by Cephas. Then of what? The 12. Oh, then of who? Then Judas must have been there. Right? Well, if he's going to be seen of the 12, it's after the resurrection, right? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Judas Iscariot must have been there. After that, verse 6, after that he was seen of above more than 500 brethren at once. That's number 3. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present. This present is now, N-O-W. The greater part remain until now, but some are fallen asleep. That means they died. After that, verse 7, he was seen of James, that's 4, then of all the apostles, again, that's 5, 8, verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me, that's number 6, also, as of, meaning as if it were one born out of due time, literally as if it were an aborted one. The text. Now, how many appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ during those 40 days, I do not know. I have six of them listed here. And there is one I know that is not listed in here, which is listed, I believe, in the 21st chapter of John, if you'll take a look. We covered this morning at the 10:30 trip. John 21. John 21:14. This appearance of Jesus Christ on the shore here with the apostles and disciples. Verse 14 specifically says, this is now the what? That Jesus showed himself to his what? After that he was risen from the dead. So I don't know all the order of the rest, but I know the one in John was the third one. For say so. Now back to Corinthians. All of these people and groups saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected form. Logically, in a court of law, the primary witness is always the one that has been there. Everything else is secondary. So a man saying today that he doesn't believe Jesus Christ arose from the dead, you know what a judge would do to that kind of testimony 2,000 years after an automobile accident? He'd do what with it? Toss it out and put the fellow in a psychiatric department for even thinking about it. That's right. And yet that's what the critics endeavored to do. Set themselves up 2,000 years after the incident to make a decision that the incident did not occur. Why, you got to be sick in the head to do that kind of stupid stuff. That's right. It seems to me that the men who were there are the primary witnesses. And you cannot say that men like Peter were nincompoops or Paul. You cannot say that at least 500 of them could have all been hypnotized. You cannot say that when Jesus Christ was resurrected that these people who went down and saw the empty tomb that they were all hoodwinked. No more so than you would dare to say if you saw a cataclysmic occurrence in your community and everybody saw it and then 100 years later, everybody writing says, well, it never happened. That's a bunch of baloney. You were there. We have proof of the resurrected Christ. Not only from those men at that time, but that you can prove today that he is alive because you can speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the only proof you have of the resurrected Christ. Nobody can prove Abraham Lincoln lived or George Washington. But I can prove that Jesus Christ is alive. That's what all this chapter is going to be talking about when we get into it. It's all prelim now. Just warm up. That's right. Because once we get in the innermost part of this chapter, then you will see that there has been a resurrection and that we have the proof of that resurrection in manifestation today. Now, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. This is an Orientalism indicating humility, which is naturally apropos. But, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, he's not the only one that can say that. Anybody who's born again is. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, did not prove to be empty. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, did not prove to be empty. But I labored, I worked more abundantly than they all. They all who? All the critics of the apostle. Because, as you see in verse 12, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of what? These fellows were working too, saying there's no resurrection. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He was a man of discipline, a man of concern, a man of drive, a man of sharpness. We heard tonight from Craig and Linnell how they work in an operating room, for instance. Well, bless God, if we're going to work like that in an operating room, why don't we get the Word of God on it and be that sharp on it? Christianity has always been sort of a fluff-off, a cop-out. You know, as long as you sit in the front pew, say amen, hallelujah, maybe in the sweet by and by you'll make it. Baloney. Even if you never made it in the sweet by and by, make the present sweet. Somebody's got to get disciplined. Somebody's got to stand come hell or high water on the Word. And we've got to be as sharp handling the Word of God as any man in the secular world could be. We got to be sharper, because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged scalpel. Has to be. Well, people, it's the greatness of that Word that needs that discipline and that sharpness. Verse 11, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you have what? Believed. Now, verse 12. If Christ be preached that he rose from among the dead, is the text. If Christ be preached that he rose from among the dead, all the rest of the dead are still dead. He's the only one that ever rose from among. That section in Matthew, I've taught you previously, where it says, you know, they all came in the city. That's never in any critical Greek text or anything else. That was added hundreds and hundreds of years later. Enoch is not alive. Elijah's not alive. There's only one that has ever been raised out from among the dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's from among the dead. How say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Then is Christ not risen, literally reads, not even has Christ been raised, if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain. And remember, vain means to know what? Purpose. Then is our preaching vain, and your believing. Also vain. Where it is, it's scratched. Yea, and is moreover, we are found what? False witnesses of, against God. Because we scratch the word have. Because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16. Here it is. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. But if Christ be raised, then the dead are also going to rise up. If the dead rise not, then Christ has not been what? Raised. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your believing is vain, of no purpose. Ye are yet in your sins. And yet in Romans 10:9 it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord, what? And believe in our heart that God did one thing, what? Thou shalt be what? Then that confession is totally of no purpose if Christ is not what? That's what it says. That's what it means. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen. The words are fallen mean fell. Then they also which fell asleep in Christ perished. Scratch the word are. Then they also which fell asleep in Christ perished. Because there is no purpose if Christ was not what? And if they believed in the resurrected Christ, but he was not resurrected, then those who fell asleep believing this, what happened to them? They perished. Verse 19. If in this life only we have, are having our hope. If in this life only we are having our hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We are of all men most miserable means more to be pitied than all men. If in this life only we are having hope in Christ, and if Christ really did not rise from the dead, if he was not resurrected, then we are more to be pitied than all men because we believed in something and told a lie about it and everything else, which is worse than if you had never heard or talked about it. Hope is always used in the Bible regarding something that you cannot have at that time. Hope is always future. Believing or faith is always present. We have the hope of Christ's return tonight because we cannot have it right now. But if you need to be born again, then you have to believe to receive faith. That's how the word hope is used in the Bible. Now, verse 20 through 28 is a parenthesis. It is basically the figure of speech called parambole, P-A-R, E-M-B-O-L-E. That's the figure of speech. The word perimbole means an instructional sentence. That's literally what it means. So verse 20 through 28 is an instructional sentence. That's why it's a parenthesis, to instruct. Understand? It's a sentence, a word to the believers to instruct them. And the instruction is heavy. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen. The literal working means and is, but now Christ has been raised, is the text, from the dead. Christ has been raised and become. And the words "and become" are not in any critical Greek text you scratch. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. Them that slept is those who have fallen asleep. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, because he was raised out from what? Among. Out from among the dead. Got it? That's why he is the first fruits. The first fruits has everything to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. For since by man, Adam, boy, I forgot this now, and I didn't make a note of it, but I think in the critical Greek text, the definite article D precedes man because it talks about Adam. In Romans, of course, where we've been working with the core, that whole section of Romans 5 and following shows the greatness of this 21st verse. For since by man, Adam, death, by man, by whom? Jesus Christ. By whom? Man. By man. Not by God. By what? Who's the man? He's the second Adam. By man also, the resurrection of the what? Right. For as 22, in the Adam, that one I checked, another one I must have missed. For as in the Adam, all die, so, even it's scratched, so in Christ also shall all be made alive. And there is a real sharply divided verse. For as in Adam all what? Die. This cannot be true of the church to which you and I belong, because in verse 51, just flip to it, we'll be there later tonight if we ever get there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? So the church of the body to which you and I belong are not all going to what? Die. Be sleeping, right? That's right. This verse deals with all die. And the all die always refers to Israel, as well as unbelievers not saved at all. And the resurrection, the word resurrection refers to all who what? Die. But the church will not all what? Therefore the church cannot be resurrected. And the Bible never speaks of the church of the body to which you and I belong as being resurrected. And that verse, not rightly dividing this verse, has caused all the confusion of throwing the church into the first resurrection, second resurrection, in between. They never know what's happening. So you have nothing but theological hodgepodge and confusion. The word resurrection always refers to everybody being dead. Jesus Christ is the first fruit, the one and only, who has been raised out from among the what? But there is a time coming when all the dead are going to have a surprise party. They're going to get up. Even those unbelievers who say they don't believe are going to be surprised. But they're going to get up too. Because the getting up has nothing to do with their believing. It has everything to do with the return of Christ. Now watch this thing, how sharp this thing is divided. For as in the Adam all die, so in Christ also shall all Israel plus. And the plus is the resurrection of the unjust. All be made what? Alive. Now watch verse 23. But every man, each one, in his own order, sequence, understand? In its own order, in its own sequence. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards. After what? After the gathering together of the body, all who die shall all be made what? Alive, verse 22, just stay put, keep your nose in the word and your mind sharp. Christ, everyone in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward what? After the gathering together of the church, there's going to be a resurrection. They that are Christ with, not at, with his coming. Not at his coming, but with it. And the with is the resurrection after the gathering together of the body of believers. That's the accuracy with which that scripture is written. Boy, oh boy. Then it tells you in verse 24, then cometh the what? End. And the word end is telos, T-E-L-O-S. Then cometh the end. The end what? The end resurrection. It's not talking about apple butter. It's talking about resurrection. And the word is telos. If it was any other word than that, your Bible full of pieces, because it has a word centelia. You know, a dog has a tail. That's the end of the dog. Here's the tail. Well, this whole thing is the end, right? Uh-uh. Yes, it is. But the word here would say, if it meant all of this, it'd go this far and use the word centelia. It's the end of the end. But when it's the end total end of the end, it's the word telos. This word is telos in Corinthians. Oh, Lord, that stuff turns me on. Because you see, that's accuracy of word. That's text. Then cometh the telos, not the suntalia, but the end of the end. That's the end resurrection. And in Matthew, there are two resurrections, the resurrection of the just and what? Right, in Hebrews, I think there are also two menses of having chose a better resurrection. That is, the resurrection of the just is better than the unjust resurrection. Then cometh the end. When he shall have, the word shall have is scratched. When he delivers, it's an active present verb. When he delivers up the kingdom to whom? What kingdom? We don't have a kingdom. We belong to the church of the body. Who belongs to the kingdom? Israel. He's going to bring up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down. The words put down are when he shall have brought to naught. N-O-U-G-H-T. Big zero. Naught. All rule of the adversary, all authority of the adversary, and all the power of the adversary. For he must reign till he, God, hath put all enemies under his, Christ's feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The text literally reads, death, the last enemy, is destroyed. Put all enemies under his, Christ's feet. Death, the last enemy, is destroyed. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 14. And death and hell, the grave, were cast into the lake of what? This is the second death. When that verse 14 has occurred, the reality of verse 26 of Corinthians will have come to pass. Also in chapter 21, verse 4. Then at that time God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the other things, the former things, these other things are past what? Amen. That's why death, the last enemy, is destroyed. Verse 27. For he, God, hath put, means subjected. For God subjected all things under his, Christ's feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, meaning with the exception of Christ. God, which God did put all things under him, Christ. Verse 28. And when all things shall be subjected unto God, then shall the Son himself also be subjected unto whom? God. That put all things. These words, all things, literally read over all things in all places, meaning supremacy. Himself also be subject unto God, that put over all things in all places, under Christ, that God may be all in all. You see how the Word of God separates God and His Son in these verses? Just as sharp as it's possible to separate anything. I think that 28th verse is just fantastic. Let me read it to you again. And when all things shall be subjected unto God, then shall the Son Himself also be subject unto God, who put over all things in all places under Christ, that God may be all in all. Then that's the end of the parentheses. Now we're back to verse 29, which is literally a carryover from verse 19. If in this life only we're having our hope in Christ, we are to be more to be pitied than all men. Verse 29, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And here is a very difficult verse. I'll give you the accurate translation of it tonight and help you to understand it. We're dealing with the resurrection and the miserableness and the pitifulness of men if there is no resurrection, and how we've blown it, there's no purpose, we've lied, everything else. The whole argument of verse 28, the whole biblical argument of verse 28 is, what is the use of being baptized if it's only to remain dead? That's the argument. Now I'll give you the translation. What is the use of being baptized if it's only to remain dead? Now I'll give you the translation. Verse 29. Else, what are they doing who are being baptized? Period. It is for dead bodies. If the dead rise not, period. Why are they then baptized? Question. Also for the dead? Question. That's the accuracy of that difficult 29th verse. Else, what are they doing who are being baptized? Nothing to do with water, but with the teaching of the baptism of Christ within. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is of no purpose, no value. If you're baptized with Christ in you, okay? Let's say I taught that you're baptized with Christ in you. But God really never raised him from the dead. Then it is for dead bodies if the dead rise not. Then you're just a dead body if the dead rise not. When you die, you're never going to get up. If that be true, why are they then baptized? why are they then baptized with Christ if you're not going to rise? Also for the dead, so that you can stay dead? Well, think about it. Verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? You know it, in Acts 19. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with what? So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in on the people, the disciples suffered him not to. Lots of confusion, lots of suffering. That's what he's talking about in verse 30 of Corinthians 15. If there is nothing to the resurrection, if Christ has not been raised, then why do we stand in jeopardy with our lives every hour? Why should the devil be so hard after us if we're so totally wrong? He doesn't have to be after the people he's already got. He's got to work overtime trying to get the people whom he hasn't got. And keep you in confusion and get you all screwed up so you deny the word. And fail to walk in the efficacy or the power of it. Verse 31, I affirm. Protest. Affirm. I affirm by our rejoicing, not your, our. Oh, you are. Scratch the Y. I affirm by our rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die what? Meaning I stand in jeopardy every day. Verse 32. If after the manner of men I fought, scratch have, with beasts at Ephesus. Now there are only two ways this can be interpreted. I'll give you both. And we'll wait till the return to figure it out. I don't know, and I don't know if anybody can know. If he was literally thrown into an arena with wild animals in Ephesus, or if he refers here in Ephesus to those men that I just read about in Acts 19, and he called them beasts with which he was confronted. I do not know which one of the two it is. If it's literal, it's one thing. If it's fought with beasts, meaning men, it's a figure of speech. Now, which one or the other, I don't know which it is, but either one be bad enough. Maybe Daniel had an easier time in the lion's den than he did outside with people. Maybe the beasts on the outside are worse than those on the inside. That's why, class, I do not know. I'm simply presenting both sides, and that's all that's to it. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me? What is the profit if the dead rise not? Why should I stand in jeopardy with my life on the line day after day if the dead rise not? What's the profit? Let's be Epicureans. That's the philosophy of the latter part of that verse. If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In other words, eat, drink, and be merry, the Epicurean philosophy. And if there's nothing about the resurrection, then let's get, do as we fool please, be fools doing it, but do it anyways. For tomorrow you may what? A lot of people have this philosophy today. Get them before they get you. All this stuff, you know. See? Verse 33. Be not deceived. Don't let anybody cool you. Don't anybody fool you. Be not deceived. Evil associations corrupt good ethics. Manners, ethics, morals. Evil associations corrupt good morals, ethics. Awake, awake, wake up. Don't go to sleep. Wake up to what is right. Righteousness, what is right. Awake to what is right. And sin not. To sin in this incident is not to be knowledgeable or recognize the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sin. For some have not the knowledge of God. Well, if they have not the knowledge of God, they have ignorance. For some are ignorant, have ignorance concerning the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. To those who have ignorance, he says, I speak to your shame. You wouldn't have to be ignorant. Knowledge is available, but if you want to stay stupid, all you can do is stay stupid, and it's to your shame that you're stupid. But, verse 31, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what kind of body do they come? Then 36, fool. Dog. You know, fool. The reason he had to answer the question is because God knew there'd be fools. They'd ask these things. That's why God said it here in Corinthians. And the explanation is so foolproof. If you're a fool after that, I don't know what to do with people. That which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive. Same word as the word made alive in verse 22. Verse 36. Except it die. That which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare, B-A-R-E, means naked. Naked grain. If it should happen of wheat or of some other, oats, barley, corn, you sow the naked grain of corn. You sow the naked grain of barley or wheat, and yet that grain that you sow is not what you get back at the top of the stalk. You get something else back, right? Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as he purposed. God giveth it a body even as he purposed, and to each seed its own body. Verse 39. Not all flesh the same flesh, but one flesh of men, one flesh of beasts, one flesh, one of fishes, one of birds. Verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies and bodies earthly, terrestrial, earthly. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the terrestrial or the earthly is another. I would like to give you a literal translation according to usage of texts of verse 40. And heavenly bodies there will be, and earthly bodies. But of one kind will be the glory of the heavenly, and of another kind that of the earthly. I'll read it again. And heavenly bodies there will be, and earthly bodies. But of one kind will be the glory of the heavenly, and of other kind that of what? The earthly. You know what this verse is talking about? After all is gathered together in the book of Revelation, there are going to be people on earth. In the new heaven, new earth. They're going to be, you know, people on earth. Because how could you sell your corn and wheat and your cabbage and onions if you had nobody eat them? Says in the book of Revelation, they're going to bring their produce in. But it's going to be a little different trip, because in that kind of land, there'll be no cursed thistles. And all that we read about a while ago in 21:4, no death. There are going to be some leaves for the healing of a nation, I believe, and a few other little items. Basically, what we need to see is that verse 40 is talking about heavenly bodies and earthly what? One kind will be the glory of those that are what? Heavenly, and another kind that of what? Good. Verse 41. There is another glory of the sun, and glory of the moon, and glory of the stars. Hey, what do we spend on that little trip up there we can't get in operation? Taxpayers' money? I saw it in writing. It blew my mind. Wish we had it to spend for the outreach of the word. We couldn't fluff it any worse. But isn't it something, we can live in a country and just let it go on and on and on and on? Well, we're going to need a new heaven and a new earth, that's for sure. Verse 42. So is the resurrection of the dead also. It is sown in what? Sown in corruption. It is raised what? In corruption. So only the dead can be raised incorruptible. You have to be dead to corrupt, and only corruption can be raised how? Incorruption. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor because it's going to do what? Corrupt. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness because of man's frailty. But when it's raised in what?
Right.
See, we shall have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body, because all that can go into the grave is the man of body, because his soul, it was his last breath. It's sown a natural body, but when it's raised, it's what kind of a body? Nobody knows what that body's all about. They've never had the privilege of taking Jesus Christ into the laboratory at Harvard. Or Princeton, or KU, or Ohio State. So they never had... Nobody knows what that body was all about. We know a little about it from the Word, but that's all you know. You know? You could be on the road to Emmaus one time, and next minute be inside of a room that had the doors bolted with Yale locks and all the rest. Another time, he could be on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and say to Peter, "Fellas, you catch any fish last night?" He could invite them over and give them fish and bread for breakfast and partake with them. I don't understand. I don't care to understand. I just know it's true. Understanding a lot of things I don't understand. Got all the future to learn all that stuff. Eternity. Catch up. There is a natural body, and there is also a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. When God breathed into him the breath of life, the Word says he became a living what? The last Adam, Jesus Christ, when God did something in him, he became a what? Quickening spirit. And the word quickening is life-giving or living spirit. I know what the life of the body and soul man is, but I do not know what the life of the resurrected body is, except that it's a life quickening spirit. What is it? Came from God? I don't know. I know it's a life quickening spirit. That's all. Verse 46. Howbeit, nevertheless, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, after the natural, that which is what? Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, dust. The second word, earthy, is the word dust. That's the truth. The second man of heaven. Scratch the words, is the Lord, from. And above the word from, put the preposition of, because that's the text. The first man is of the earth, dust. The second man of heaven. Because it has a life-quickening what? Spirit. Which cannot die. Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also which are what? And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image also of the heavenly. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood are not able to inherit the kingdom of what? Neither doth corruption inherit what? Incorruption. Now, behold, I show you a mystery. Now the whole thing changes. Now the whole thing changes. And he's going to show it to us. Well, if you're going to show it to us, then we know it. I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? Be sleeping is the text. I want to give you another little clue to rightly dividing this word. You've got to understand that you're dealing many times with people who were Israel, but because of the change on the day of Pentecost, they came moved from Israel into the church of the body, where they're no longer Jew nor what. Got to watch it. We shall not all be sleeping, but we shall all be what? Right. Changed. Now that does not say that we're all corruptible, but we're all going to be what? If it's corruptible, the corruptible has to put on what? But there has to be something else be able to be happen if we're not all going to be what? Sleeping. In a moment, verse 52, moment is the word atom, A-T-O-M. In the twinkling of an eye, faster than an eyeball twinkles. At the last trump, now that's not pinochle. You see, in the book of Matthew, it talks about the last trumpet too. But it's talking about Israel. This one is talking about the church of the body. But they put Israel in here, so they get their trumps all mixed up. And if you playing games and you got the trump card all mixed up, you're going to lose ball game. Card game. Now, why in the world, if you can have a band and have two trumpets in a band, why can't God Almighty have two trumpets? Why does the trumpet of Matthew have to be the same trumpet as the trumpet of Corinthians? I suppose if God wanted to, he could at least afford three trumpeters in his band. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just trying to show you how irrational and illogical people's thinking basically is. And it's because of the lack of rightly dividing that word, not being concerned about that word really fitting. If it's God's word, it has to fit like a hand in a glove, and you got to work it. And tonight I'm working with you the greatest record in God's word along this line. In an atom, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be resurrected. No, 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 shall be what? Aha. How? Incorruptible, because the dead have corrupted, and they will have to be raised how? But there are others who are not what? They shall be what? That's what verse 52 says. That's what it means. And here's verse 53. For this corruptible, that which has died, must put on what? And this mortal, living at that time, not asleep, must put on what? Immortality. So immortality is for a mortal who's living at the return of Christ, a believer, born again of God's Spirit, church of the body. Not all shall be sleeping. Suppose Christ came right now. Are we dead? Therefore, we could not be raised from the dead, but we'd all have to be what? Right now, you're immortal. The mortal would have to put on what? Sure, and Immanuel Kant is all screwy when he talks about the immortality of the soul. So are the reincarnation boys and all the rest of them. That's what they talk about today yet. That when you die, you really don't die. The soul is immortal. It goes to God. Baloney! Immortality deals only at the time of the coming of Christ for His church, when the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And the mortals living at that time put on what? Immortality. That's the beauty. Verse 54. So, when is time? When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, not until then, shall be brought to pass the word that is written, death is swallowed up into victory. Then, after that shall come to pass, then is going to be brought to pass the word that is written, death is swallowed up into victory. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? The telos is then delivering the kingdom to God, back to Israel. But before that happens, the dead in Christ shall rise. Those which are alive and remain shall be what? Changed. Then after all of that and about 1,000 years of work in the book of Revelation, death is swallowed up in victory. Unto victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? That's why when there is no sin, there can be no what? And in the new heaven and the new earth, there'll be no more sin. Therefore, there'll be no more death. Sin in Genesis caused death. There was no death until after man sinned. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin, the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Unmovable. You know what unmovable means? Unmovable. Somebody said it's like a fellow who stepped in the cement and it dried. Unmovable. Every couple of weeks abounding. No. Always what? Not bounding, but abounding. Effervescing in the work of what? Even though our lives stand in jeopardy and we die what? We're always what? Steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We just lay it on Him. We just tell it like it is. We just open our hearts and share it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing, it's an active participle, knowing that your labor is not in vain, not without purpose, in the what? In the Lord. because our rewards are of merit. Salvation is of grace. But the rewards for the believer are because of merit. What did you do for him? Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not without purpose in the Lord. You see why we can live with an effervescence and a glow? Why we can take a stand in our day and time and just stand? For if we don't, there is no hope for any knowledge of God's Word today. And you don't get this knowledge of God's Word by playing tiddlywinks till 3 o'clock in the morning. You get it from working the Word and letting the Word speak. And in addition to that, a few other little things that have to be in operation. Discipline, renewed mind, knowledge, and the Spirit of God working within us to do it will and to do His good pleasure. Well, that's the great 15th chapter, Corinthians. Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatness of that word. Thank you for all of its beauty and all of its goodness. And Father, may this word live again in our day and time. May our people have an understanding of this chapter and rightly divide it and make it a part of their life and a part of their understanding. So they will know that even in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, we shine as lights holding forth your word. Because our thanks is unto our Lord Jesus Christ who gave us the victory. And that we may stand unmovable, always abounding in the work whereunto you've called us. I thank you for the grace on my own life to make it possible to live out my days or to the return with that love, Father, and with that privilege. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Bless you.